Begin after six taps. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for listening to the FlixWise podcast. I'm your just-so-over-this host, Lady P. No relation to Master P. Joining me today, once again, is frenetic overachiever, Andy Tice. And stoner surfer barely made it in today, Miss Emma Gerard.
Hey.
On today's episode, we have another film for our teen movie series. This time, I'll be submitting Michael Lehman's 1989 pitch-black comedy, Heathers. Find out if Andy and Emma agree that Heathers is one of the funniest, not just teen movies, but funniest movies ever made.
It was a comedy?
Yeah. All right, guys, have you got your marshmallows and sticks handy?
Yes.
Then let's burn this mother down. Boom.
Carriage return.
All right, here's my pitch. As I mentioned, I'm submitting for the panel the 1989 satire, Heathers, starring Winona Ryder and Christian Slater. Here's a brief synopsis. The film opens with a scene where a trio of beautiful young women are playing a game of croquet while the song Que Sera Sera tenderly soundtracks the festivities. The music sets the stage for what appears to be an innocent, lazy afternoon, but right off the bat, the viewer knows something's not quite right. As the trio move about the lawn, they thoughtlessly trample through a beautiful bed of red roses. The colors in the scene also help to establish a surreal, dreamlike quality, where the aforementioned roses are as vibrant and luminous as the girl's red lipstick. Also established in the scene is the ultimate symbol of 1980s feminine power. We watch in tight close-up as a bundle of carefully teased strawberry blonde hair is gently tied up in a bright red scrunchie. This scrunchie, we will come to understand, is this universe's one ring to rule them all. He or she who possesses this crimson band has ultimate power over the universe, or at least her classmates. The viewer follows this trio through their contest until it is revealed that our protagonist, Veronica Sawyer, played by Winona Ryder, is buried in the ground up to her chin and is getting pelted by the girl's croquet balls. We ain't in John Hughes territory anymore. It turns out that the trio of girls are all named Heather, and they are the evil queens of Westerberg High. Veronica is their reluctant friend and accomplice in all of their cruel reindeer games. While Veronica will initially put up a bit of fight whenever she's asked to publicly humiliate a social outcast, she eventually falls in line out of fear of being made a social outcast herself. She's along for the Heather's ride. That is, until she catches a glance at Westerberg's new mysterious stranger, played by Christian Slater. His name is Jason Dean, or JD for short. He digs Bach. He plays the sax, he's got an earring, and he's a homicidal maniac. Together, Veronica and JD go on a killing spree to rid the school of the tyranny of the jocks and the Heathers. They go one by one and make each killing look like a suicide. Veronica, being the saner of this Bonnie and Clyde duo, has some misgivings about murdering her classmates. JD, however, feels that the one-off method is too time-consuming and inefficient. So he sets about a plan to blow up the school and make it look like the entire student body decided to do themselves in. Veronica, to her credit, finds this plan objectionable. In the dramatic final act, Veronica's got to figure out a way to stop JD, but do so without reinforcing the old political structure. Veronica understands that the fascist Heather's regime cannot continue, but JD's anarchy and terrorism is not the answer. In the end, Veronica foils JD's plan, and he ends up using one of the bombs meant for the school on himself. Veronica then removes the red scrunchie from one of the Heather's heads and fastens it to her own. She states calmly, "Heather, my dear, there's a new sheriff in town." The viewer doesn't know if Veronica will be able to resist the pull of absolute power, or if the full weight of the scrunchie will be too heavy a burden. But at the very least, she's not another effing Heather. One of the reasons I think this movie is so great is because the film features the same social structure of high school that most teen movies explore, but it takes it to a new level of absurdity, unequaled in any teen movie that came before or has come since its release. And while some of the characters are based on broad stereotypes, they serve to call attention to the lie that other movies of that era propagated. The proliferation of the queen bee and homophobic jock stereotypes in teen movies had become so commonplace that they were pretty much already parodies of themselves. It had long been established that high school was made up of a small group of cruel despots who rule over the lunchroom with an iron fist. The satire of Heather says that if indeed these evil characters do exist, then the logical conclusion is that there needs to be a coup. The popular kids must be taken out by force. Like it or not, once you've seen Heathers, you will never be able to watch another teen movie the same way again. Heathers has a way of making all other teen comedies of the era seem frivolous and sentimental. It also happens to be one of the sharpest not just teen comedies, but comedy scripts ever written. The film really rewards multiple viewings, because the one-liners fly at you so quickly that there's no way you're going to catch all of them the first time you watch it. But that's not a problem, because once you've seen it, you're just going to want to watch it again and again. So that's my pitch, guys. What do you think? Emma, why don't we start with you?
Well, I guess when we were getting all these teen movies together, it seemed like we were initially just going to be talking about 80s movies. But I'm kind of realizing, as you gave that description, that this movie was really kind of more of a 90s teen movie. Hmm. And it kind of ushered in, like, it makes me think more of, like, the movies of, like, Greg or Rocky, or maybe even, like, even later of Mean Girls than it does of any John Hughes movie.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's sort of part of a sign of the times. Like, it's not really a product of the Reagan era, which is part of what my problem was with 16 Candles, where it was like sort of showing teen life as sort of a practice moment in this like continuous machine where we all become happy bankers or whatever it is that there were these sort of like social strata that you're supposed to sit into, and whatever you are, you know, as a teenager is what you're going to be for the rest of your life. Whereas Heather's does, like you say, it just calls for a coup and suggests that perhaps the only way out of the problems of the world are through violence and upheaval.
True. But I would argue that it is a product of the Reagan. I mean, the counterculture is a product of the culture. I think it is reacting to John Hughes. I think that's what makes it so great. Not only is it a great standalone film, but I think it works really well as a reaction to other films that had come before. Just as, say, 16 Candles is sort of a reaction to other teen movies that had come before. But I think that because John Hughes had become so mainstream, I think that there were a lot of people who couldn't relate to that model that he set up. John Hughes took for granted that all that teenagers want is to be popular and to have the cute boy or girl fall in love with them.
That's a good point.
And I think Heathers understands that the fact that you aren't popular, or you don't have a lot of friends, or you don't have a beautiful girlfriend or boyfriend is not what makes high school so awful. What makes high school awful is the structure. It's feeling helpless. It's feeling like, you know, that the institution is working against you, and the social structure, it will make you feel smaller if you aren't part of this. The social stratification can be really, really oppressive. And I think that Heathers really indulges in that fantasy that it is possible to overcome that social structure. And that was what really appealed to me when I saw it as a teenager. So, Andy, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I really like your reading of it, Emma. I did think it's a bit ahead of its time. It does seem to me more like a 90s movie, just in style and look. And I really did not enjoy Heathers at all.
Okay, perfect.
I made it maybe 40 minutes into it before I just started drifting in
my
mind. And I didn't like the characters at all. I thought Christian Slater was trying to channel Jack Nicholson.
He really, really was, yes.
Like too much. And the characters just didn't resonate with me.
Okay.
It seems to me like you like the movie because it has powerful women and a sense of anarchy.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
I guess I take those things, yeah. I don't know. I like that.
What was the funny part? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
You
don't,
okay. Well, no, I mean, what was funny about it? I think the dialogue is really funny. You didn't think it was funny that her parents feed her pate and just like, I'm trying to think of a line that doesn't have cussing
really
in it.
Spaghetti the whole time.
Right. Corn nuts. You didn't think that was funny as she's dying? She goes, corn nuts.
you know why she was dying? Because she was allergic to nuts.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. No, isn't? Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, I think you missed
something. No, because she was allergic to nuts.
And the Drano.
But I thought the joke was, see, I really didn't get this movie. I thought the joke was, if I were to drink Drano, I wouldn't just keel over and die.
I think you might.
Well, we're not going to find out anytime soon.
You didn't think that was funny?
I think you have to look at your movie a little deeper.
Okay.
No, that wasn't funny. It was awful. A young, pretty girl dies.
I know.
You're laughing away.
I think maybe I need to look at myself a little deeper. I think the movie is, I understand the movie perfectly, maybe a little too perfectly.
All right. But I do think you're right in saying that a lot of the characters are really unlikable. I don't think the movie would be possible to be funny if it was just like really likable people dying left and right. They definitely... They have to be, like, bigger than normal teenagers are. Like, we have to really get the feeling that they are tyrants and that they must die for the movie to work.
Right. I mean, didn't you think Heather Chandler, the first victim of JD and Veronica's killing spree, was pretty abominable? Like,
they all were.
Yeah. Didn't you kind of think they deserved to die? Wouldn't your high school have been a better place without people like that?
You need that people to help you grow.
Yeah.
And realize you're better than those people.
Yeah. Doesn't it make you mad to know that people like that grow up and then they rule the world?
They don't.
They do.
No.
I mean, but this is the whole...
Everything changes after high school.
Well, so I think that the movie serves as sort of a microcosm for society as a whole. As J.D. puts it at the end of the movie, he says, high school is society. Right.
But I do think you're right in saying that isn't true. I think part of what the movie is sending up is the notion that, like John Hughes' movies report, that like it is supposed to be a microcosm of society and these people are going to grow up and rule the world. And Heather's is saying it's not that simple. If it were, it would be totally absurd.
Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting. So you don't think it serves as an effective microcosm, or at least an allegory for how social structure works in the real world?
I'm saying it's rejecting the idea that, hold on, I have to think about this for a second.
Yeah.
So the only redeeming character in that whole movie is Heather number 4, Shannon Doherty.
You think? Yeah. Heather Duke?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I have a thing for Shannon.
Fair enough.
That's about it.
Fair enough. Really? I mean, it's sort of like objecting to Dr. Strangelove because you can't relate to any of the characters. The whole thing is
you're
a
parody. You're comparing this movie to Dr. Strangelove?
Sure, yeah. I think it has very similar sensibilities.
The nuclear bomb dropping is the same as blowing up the high school?
Sort of, in a smaller sense. I think a similar sense of humor.
Well, Heather's was definitely surreal.
Yeah.
And that's part of what I didn't like about it.
Okay.
It was a little too dreamlike for
okay.
me.
Okay, so it was just you just prefer your teen movies to be more.
He pulled a gun in the cafeteria.
He sure did.
And like was
and
he
showed up the next day.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everything is really exaggerated. They get away with murder.
Yeah.
And nothing is said of it. So the movie is obviously very very detached from reality. It is again just more of a response to other teen movies, I think. More so than any
slightly tangentially.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Brazil? Yes or no?
I like Brazil.
All right.
Yeah. Why?
And one last one.
Yeah.
Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
Okay.
What? All right. Do you like both those movies?
No.
Okay. Emma.
Maybe it is a little more Natural Born Killers than John Hughes. But I mean, I think part of the violence and the detachment from reality in Heather's is that it's not accepting of the reality in like the John Hughes movies. Like the idea in the John Hughes movies is that it's supposed to be a microcosm of the universe, but it sort of like accepts it that way and says like, it's all right. Like the jocks are going to rule the world and the geeks are going to be the geeks or whatever. And that's how it is. And everything's going to be okay. Because at the end, everyone's sort of like growing up and meeting the end of the story is that they like make peace with it. But Heather's seems to say that the world as it is not okay.
Yeah.
It offers like blowing up the school is not realistic, but it's presenting an unrealistic solution to a problem that seems unsolvable.
Right.
Which is how do you make the world like a place free of violence and cruelty?
Right.
Are you willing to accept that Heather's might have been, for lack of a better word, the trigger that has started all these school shootings?
I completely reject that notion.
I would vote. Yeah, I feel like Taxi Driver is a lot closer to school shootings than this movie is.
those kids have not seen Taxi Driver.
You don't think so? I think more people have seen Taxi Driver than Heathers. Heathers is a pretty, it's kind of a cult classic. The fact that Heathers existed, I feel like it's a good pressure release. It's a good pressure valve. Had I not seen Heathers in high school, I think I would have had a lot more pent up frustration.
Really?
To be honest, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't plant the notion of going on a shooting spree in my head, if that's what you're asking.
I know. I know you well enough that you would not have done that.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think it's the idea that you see this movie when you're a frustrated teenager and you realize, I don't have to blow up the school because other people feel this way.
Right.
And everything isn't going to be like culminating on prom night and it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Just to go back to the John Hughes parallel. The John Hughes presents this universe where upward mobility is sort of a possibility, and if you can achieve popularity is the end goal in John Hughes movies. Whereas this movie, our lead is already popular. So it's sort of a new perspective on the high school comedy. And
Did you want to be a Heather?
In middle school, I think.
In middle school,
yeah, I thought better of it in high school. And most, actually, John Hughes movies, most teen movies to me more closely resemble middle school than high school, at least in my experience. The focus on social groups and cliques, that was more of a middle school thing. But I will say that when I saw this movie in high school, I was already a fan of teen movies, but Heathers is the one that really spoke to me, because at the time I didn't have the romantic fantasy as the unpopular girl that some beautiful jock was going to sweep me off my feet or that he would notice me. But I mean, my fantasy in high school was that I would wake up and not have to go to school.
I can agree with that one.
and this seemed like I didn't really wish my classmates dead. I just kind of wished that all of my problems would go away. Like, I don't want to go on the record as saying I wished my classmates dead, but I did wish that someone would take it upon themselves to blow up the school a little
bit. You might want to edit that out.
I might get the FBI after me. and it's John Hughes is a wish fulfillment fantasy, but I think Heather's in its way is also a wish fulfillment fantasy, and I'm so glad it existed because it was tremendously helpful for me in high school. What do we think of the ending, though? Did you like the ending, Emma?
I do.
Yeah. Do you think it like sort of reconciles the two worlds?
I don't think it does. I think I like it for its ambiguity.
Yeah.
Like you said, we don't know if she's going to go with Matt in power. Maybe it'll be a new horrible world order of her and Martha. Or, you know, maybe the school will be out for the rest of the year due to all of the horrible things that just happened and they won't have to worry about it.
Oh, there you go. Yes, that's why you liked it.
Or, yeah, maybe things will just kind of go back to normal and it'll be a John Hughes movie for the rest of the year where nothing happens and prom goes just fine.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Andy, what did you think of the ending?
I didn't care.
I was
glad it was over.
Wow.
I wish one of them would have done the bomb 5-10 minutes earlier in the movie. Just get it.
I'm so curious. Why did you like high school?
I didn't like any school.
Okay. What was it about it that really you couldn't connect to?
Let me put it this way: my 18 years of schooling were not. I did not enjoy my 18 years of schooling.
Okay. Okay. But and yet somehow, 16 Candles appealed to you.
Yeah, it was fun. There wasn't school there. They were goofing around,
man.
That's true. They were at the dance. They were going to parties I never get to go to. I always wanted to go to one of those parties. And now, when I finally went to one, you know what?
Wasn't that great?
Cool?
Yeah. And Heather, she goes to a party. She goes to a college party. And it turns out that it's awful, which I also appreciated because most parties are awful. Let's face it.
But there is a thing, especially in the Midwest, where college boys will try to pick up maybe in LA too. I don't know. They'll try to pick up teenage girls, and for some reason, you girls go for that Jake Ryan character.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think it's important that this movie acknowledges that lots of teenage girls aren't super into the college jock or the college
what?
The older college
man.
Are
you kidding me?
I think it's important to acknowledge that. Are you suggesting we're all into older college boys?
No, I'm not saying all of you. Jeez.
Some of us.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be a myth of the patriarchy. Yeah. And part of what I like about Heather's is it's sort of addressing problems of violence against women.
Yeah.
I like her, you know, sort of revenge. I mean, even though it ends up going the wrong way on, like, you know, the boy that tries to force himself on her in the cow pasture. And yeah. I like that, like that scene at the college party too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to just contrast Heather's with the way Heather's treats homophobia and misogyny versus the way 16 Candles treats homophobia and misogyny. In 16 Candles, we get Molly Ringwald using a homophobic slur against a nerd, and any threats, any men that are less than totally perfect specimens of masculinity are called the F word. And in Heather's, when the people who utter that F word are considered the villains and meet an untimely end. So, and I think we are meant to cheer along as they are, we can rid the world of these horrible people. I think that's its appeal, is that there are people who are awful and they make the world a bad place. And while Heather's doesn't necessarily offer a great solution, it does offer this wish fulfillment fantasy that in this fake world, in this fake universe, they can be done away with.
All right. Heather's was your ideal high school. Yes. 16 Candles, mine.
Fair enough. Okay. So I guess since I'm sort of the evil dictator of this podcast, I can go ahead and pronounce Heather's as being among the Flixwise favorite.
No. Oh, man. Abuse of power.
Hold on a minute. Ahead and try and shoot me and make it look like a suicide.
Never.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go around the table. Emma, do you think Heather's deserves to be in the Flixwise favorites list?
I'm not sure. I really, really like this movie, but I don't know how much everyone else that contributes to this podcast feels about it. If it's a vote between us three, though, and it's going to be us two out of three, then I will say yes.
Okay.
What, are you ganging up on the guy? I have nothing to say about Heather's. It does not belong on any list.
Wow. Goodness gracious. All right. I hereby pronounce Heather's as being among the new Flixwise favorites.
I object.
Taff. And that's the way we frame it. Flixwise, that is. Do you think Heather's is one of the greatest teen movies ever made? Of course you do, because it's awesome. Make sure to come tell us just how awesome it is on our show page, flixwise.com. You can also leave us a comment on Facebook, facebook.com/flixwise. You can follow us on Twitter at flixwise, and follow us on Tumblr. But again, if you do nothing else for us, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. And maybe even leave us a comment if you feel so inclined. It would really help us out. Also, if you have a movie you'd like to submit to Flixwise Favorites, just email me at info@flixwise.com. Give me a brief synopsis of the film you'd like to talk about and why you think it deserves to be included on our list. On the next episode of Flixwise, I'll be joined once again by Professor Joe McBride. We're going to discuss Yasujirō Ozu's Late Spring. But until then, we better motor if we're going to catch that funeral.